Shalom to all. Today's daf is always Zohar Daf Ayin Beis. We are starting about the fifth line with the words Ahu Gavra. And today's daf is sponsored Lili Nishmas Mars Merim Sarbas Yaakov Moshe Hernish Shama should have an Aliyah. And we continue with our discussion of a kinyan that was made and what relevance an agreed upon price has with this. So the Gemara says Ahu Gavra, there was a fellow Darmalei Lechavre. He told his friend Imas Avinu La Lahara. If I decide to sell my property right now, I don't want to. But if I do decide to sell it, Lachamas Avinu La, I'm going to sell it to you. And then they solidified this with a kinyan. They didn't agree upon a price, but they solidified this with a kinyan. Now Azul Zavnal in Shachrina, he went and sold it to somebody else. Amar Rav Yisrael says, Kanakama, the first fellow acquired it. Since Reuven had discussed with the Shimon, agreed that he was going to sell it to him, and they even made a kinyan, so now that Reuven sells it to Levi, it's not Levi's, it's Shimon's. Obviously, Shimon would have to pay for it, but it belongs to Shimon. However, Amar Abaye told him, Holy Pasak, he never agreed upon a price beforehand, and there was no discussion of what the price is, then even though they made a kinyan, there's no smichas das. They don't really have in mind that there's a real kinyan, because again, they don't know what the price is. How do we know that when there's no agreed upon price, that there's no kinyan? Then because we have our mission that says, a person sells his wine to a non-Jew, they decide on a price before the wine was measured and given to the non-Jew, the money paid for it is mutter. That's because once they agreed upon a price and then he measured the wine for him, the wine belongs to the non-Jew before he actually touches it and makes the yayin nesech memela. When he pays for it, it's not paying for yayin nesech. However, if he measured out the wine for him before they decided on a price, that money is usur because that means he acquired the wine and made it yayin nesech before he paid for it, so that's money for Yayin Nesech. We clearly see that a kinyan only works if there was already an agreed upon price. So now the question is, my hava law, what's the final psak? Ask the Gemara, my hava law, what's the final psak? We just said that they have to agree upon a price for the kinyan to have worked. The Gemara answers, and the reason why we're asking this is because Dilma Chomer de Yayin Nesech Shani, maybe Yayin Nesech is so Chomer, that's why it's different, and it's only when we're making a transaction with Yayin Nesech that they have to agree upon a price for that kinyan to work. But with regular land, maybe there doesn't have to be agreed upon a price. And so here we have Raya Tashma, the Omer of Idibar Avin, of the Havbeir of Chazer. There was a story that was brought to the measure of Chizda, Rav Chizda Ber of Huna. Rav Chizda brought it to a base measure of Huna, Upashtem Mehad Nan, and he answered it from the following Mishnah, really it's Mehad Tanya from the following Braisa, Mash Chamar Vupayalov, if a person pulled his donkey drivers or workers, meaning he was actually pulling the person themselves, they were laden with wares, they had stuff on their back or whatever it was, but he wasn't pulling the wares and the goods, he was pulling the person, and brought him into his house, whether they decided on a price before they measured out what he was buying, or if he measured out first and then they decided on a price, like Connor, there's no Kenyan, which both of them could go back on it because there was no mashicha, there was no kinyan in the first place due to the fact that he pulled the person and not the goods, not the wares. However, parkon, if he unloaded them and brought them into his house, so here makes a difference. If there was agreed upon price before he measured everything out, then neither of them is allowed to go back on the deal. It's madad shalei pasak if he measured out what he was taking before they agreed upon a price, both of them could be chazer. So we see from here, in a case that has nothing to do with the yayin nesech, that the key factor we're looking for over here in order to make sure that the kinyan is valid is an agreed upon price. And now we have a story similar to the first one that we brought. A fellow told his friend, Reuven told Shimon, if I decide to sell this property, I'm going to sell it to you for 100 zoz. And so here there was an agreed upon price. And what happened? Reuven ended up selling it to Levi for 120, not for 100. And Omer of Kana says, Kanakama, the first one acquired it. Shimon had already agreed upon a price with Reuven. They made a kinyan to solidify that. So really it belongs to Shimon, not to Levi. However, Maskel of Yaakov and Harapakad, Yaakov from Harapakad asks, hi, Zuzi on Sue, this fellow was forced by money. What does that mean? So when Reuven had this discussion with Shimon, he wasn't ready to sell the property. What did he tell him? If I decide to sell it, I'm going to sell it for fair market value, which is, let's say, 100, because that's what they agreed upon. Now, what did he do? He ended up selling for 120, and that means that he didn't really want to sell it. For the originally agreed upon 100, it wasn't worth his while to give his property to somebody else. Now that somebody came along with an amazing offer of 120, that's considered like him being forced, as in a good type of being forced, because now he got a lot of money for it, and this has nothing to do with his agreement that he had with Shimon, therefore it's Levi's and not Shimon's. And the halacha is like this, like Rav Yaakov and Harpakod. And we continue discussing this case where we have Reuven and Shimon talking about the property he's going to sell to him. And Amarli, Reuven tells Shimon, "Kedeshami betlasa, I'm going to sell two for however much it's evaluated by three people. I feel tremiga betlasa, even if two out of those three evaluate it and give a price, so that's the price it's sold for. Why? Because pay attention to the word that's being used. Kedeshami shuma means an official evaluation in Bezdin that's done by three people. And we know that with such an evaluation, when two say one price and the third says a different price, we can go based off of the two because they're the Rav, and that's what we're saying over here, that even just two out of the three give an evaluation, we have to follow that price. However, let's say he tells him, Kida Amri Bitlasa, like three people say, not like three people evaluate, but like three people say. So in this case, Ad Amri Bitlasa, they have to get the same evaluation from three people, and it's not sufficient to have two because he's not saying anything that has to do with Bezdin. He didn't use the word Shuma, Kida Shaimi, he used the word Kida Amri, which basically means I want three people to evaluate it, and three means three, and we have to have a solid price from them. Now, let's say he told him, Kida the Shaimi Barba. I want four people to evaluate it. So in this case, Ada Amri Barba, it has to be that four people say. That's because Bezdin doesn't have a Shuma of four people. When Bezdin makes an appraisal, it's three people, not four. By the fact that he said four, even though he used the word Kiddushaimi, he really means he wants four people. And Kol Shekein for sure, says the Gemara, Hecha D'Amar Leke D'Amri Barba. Of course, if he tells him, I want like what four people say, then we have to follow four people and what they say and how much they evaluate it at. Now, Amar Le, let's say he told him, Kiddushaimi B'Tlasa, like three people make a Shuma, an evaluation, and then also Tlasa Shemua, three people came along and they did evaluate it. They appraised the property, V'Amar Le Idech, and then the other one, the buyer said, Lesu Tlasa Chirini to Kim Lehutfe. I want to bring three other people because they're much bigger experts in how to evaluate property. So Amar Papa Papa says, Din Hudim Akiv. It's his right, it's a din that he could hold back the sale until he brings these other three experts he wants to. However, Maskler Rav Huna Breda Rav Yeshua, he asks, Ma'adahani Kim Lehutfe. Who says that the second group of three people are bigger experts? Dilmahani Kim Lehutfe. Maybe the first group were bigger experts. Who's to say that one group is better than the other? And Ma'adahani Rav Huna Breda Rav Yeshua, that Lacha is like Rav Huna Breda Rav Yeshua, that the buyer is not able to be Ma'akev. He doesn't have the right to bring his people. The seller already brought his people, and so therefore we follow their evaluation. And moving on to another Mishnah, we continue discussing a transaction that has to do with wine in between a Jew and a non-Jew. The Mishnah says, Natal Samashpech, he took the Mashpech, which is the funnel, and he measured wine, meaning he poured wine from his barrel into the jug of the non-Jew, and then he took that same funnel and measured it into the jug of a Yid. So im yesh by akeves yayin, if that funnel has an akeves yayin, which is basically something that holds back the wine, it's like a lip of sorts, which is going to cause some wine to be caught inside the funnel, usher. So the wine in the Yid's pitcher is usher. Then number two, ham armi kli al kli, when wine is being poured from one kli to another, kosher wine being poured from a Yid's kli into a non-Jew's kli, es she'iru menu mutter, the one is being poured from his mutter, ves she'iru l'saychai, usher, and the one's being poured into is usher, because there's yayin nesach at the bottom of the kli, and it mixes with the new wine that comes in, so all the wine that was just poured into it is usher. We're going to have a discussion in the Gemara, what about the flow of wine that's in between these two kelim, what's the din with that? So first the Gemara tells us, Tanhan, some we have a mission over the Maseches Taharas, hanitzog, a flow or stream of water from one place to another, or v'haketafres, water running down a steep slope, or umashketayfeach, we have water on the ground, and it's wet enough that if you put your hand on it, your hand's going to get wet, not wet enough that now your hand is going to be able to make something else wet, that's called tefeach almanas lahatfeach, it's not that wet, it's just wet enough that you put your hand on it and it gets wet. In all these cases, ain a chibur, it's not considered a connection, loyla tum of loyla tahara. What does that mean, not for tumor for tahara? So let's just take the case of nitzok, where we have a stream or flow of water going from one kli into another. If somebody tame touches the water in the bottom kli, that's not matami, the water that's flowing into it, that stream or that flow of water is not tame. That's what it means, ain a chibur latuma, and what it means for tahara is the opposite. Let's say we have a hole in the ground with water in it, but it's not the size of a kosher mikvah, and then we have water that's katafris, it's running down the mountain, and that's flowing into this not big enough mikvah, but if we consider all this water combined, so then we have enough water for a mikvah. It's not considered a chibur for tahara, and somebody tries to use this hole in the ground as a mikvah, it's not kosher because it doesn't have enough water here. However, says the sefer of the Mishnah, Heshbayron, if we have cracks in the ground, it's because it's dry, parched ground, and we have cracks there, and there's water that collected in it, chibur l'tumah l'tahara, that is considered a connection for both tumah and tahara. Now, Amar Rav Huna, Rav Huna says, Nitzok v'katafris u'mashka tefeach chibur l'inyin yayin nesach. That's a very key thing, because remember we mentioned this concept before of Nitzok chibur, whether or not a flow is considered a connection. And here, Rav Huna is saying that Nitzok, Ketafras, and Mashke Tefeach, they are considered a chibur for Yayin Nesach. So if we have a flow of kosher wine going into a kli that has Yayin Nesach in it, so that whole flow is going to be usher, because Nitzok is considered a chibur, according to Rav Huna at least. So Amar Nachman, Rav Huna asked Rav Nachman, Menol Chaha, how do you know this? Elim, if you want to say it's from the following Mishnah, the one that we just quoted at the beginning of the Gemara, Hanitzok, Ketafras, and Mashke Tefeach, Ein a chibur, Loy Lutum, Loy Tahara, and the diuk you want to make is that Lutum, Loy Tahara, who do I have a chibur? Then, in regards to Tom and Tahara, for mikvah purposes, or to consider all this water tame, so then it's not considered connected. But hol inyan yayin nesach have a chibur, you want to make the diuk, then in regards to yayin nesach, it is considered connected. Well, then aim a seifa. What about the seifa in that very same Mishnah? What did it say? Hosh bayron, when we have dry, cracked ground that has water gathered in it, chibur l'tumah l'tahara, it says very clearly that it is considered chibur for tumah l'tahara, but that's mashma l'tumah l'tahara, who do have a chibur, hol inyan yayin nesach lo have a chibur. It's only considered connected for tumah l'tahara, but not for yayin nesach. So elamehal, like a mishma, we can't learn anything from that Mishnah, because the mashma is from the resha, contradicts mashma is from the seifa, so we can't learn your din Rav Huna, the nitzik is chibur by yayin nesach from this Mishnah. So now we have an attempted raya from our Mishnah. Tanan, the Mishnah says, Notalas Mashmech, the Yid took the funnel, Umadad Lusach Tchisa Shalav Chavim, and he poured the wine, measured it into the Kli of the Chavim, Vachazar Umadad Lusach Tchisa Shalav Yisrael, then he took the same funnel and measured wine into the jug of a Yid. I'm based on Bez on top, Imesh by Akevas Yain, Behazis Akevas Yain in the funnel, Usser. So the wine is Usser. Now the question is, Akevas Yain by Michael Mitzra, this Akevas Yain, how is it Usering the wine that's being poured in? Lav Ben Nitzok, isn't it because of Nitzok? We have this flow of wine going from the Yid's Kli through the funnel that has has is a keves going into the non-Jew's kli, and so it must be this nitzukis chibur. It connects the wine from the non-Jew's kli to the funnel, and that's why the wine's also shmamino nitzuk chibur. We see from here the nitzuk is chibur. That's right for Rav Huna. The Gemara says no. Tani Rav Chia teaches it's different in this case. Shebichsas tuchisai. It's referring to there was a backup of wine, meaning the funnel was in the flask or the jug of the non-Jew. So much wine was being poured into it that it rose all the way to the top and actually touched the funnel. He didn't bother taking out the funnel beforehand, and Mimela's actually real yai nesach here, and that's why the wine's usur. Ask Gemara, well, if that's so, we can bring a ride the other way around. Let's say the wine didn't back up all the way to the top of the non-Jew's jug. My what's it in? Lai. Then the wine above wouldn't be usur. And then we could say from there, the tifshet, let's learn, the nitzek ene chibur, that just the regular flow is not considered a connection. The Gemara says, lai, that's not so. This first din, the Rav Chia said that if the wine did back up all the way to the top of his jug, so then we could learn from here that the wine is usur because it's actually being touched by yayin nesach. And we're not able to make the opposite diuk. Memela nitzek tibai. We have this question regarding nitzek. Do we say the nitzek is chibur or not? So Tashma, another attempted raya from the safe of our Mishnah. What did it say? Hama ar mikli akli. He's pouring wine from his jug into the non-Jews. Eshma ar menu mutter. That which he's pouring from is mutter. All the wine that's still in his kli is mutter. That's mashma hadabeni beni usur. That the flow of wine that's in the process of going into the non-Jew's kli, that is usur. Shma mina nitzek chibur. We see from here the nitzek is chibur because the bottom of that flow is already touching the wine in the non-Jew's kli. And based off our diuk, the wine that's still in the air, that's in the process of going down into the kli, that's usur. As we see, the nitzek is chibur. The Gemara says, no, that can't be because in nitzek chibur, if nitzek was real chibur, I feel the gavei deman and amiletzer, then even the wine that's still in the yid's kli should be usur. The Gemara says, no, holy kasha, that's not a question to come miktav ktufe, because we could say that it's already been cut off, meaning the yid poured from his kli and then quickly picked it back up again, so the flow, the stream of wine, is actually not connected to the yid's kli anymore, and it's just simply falling down into the non-Jew's kli, and because Malkum, we could still say the nitzek chibur, nitzek is chibur, and that's why that wine in the air that's still falling down into the non-Jew's kli is usur, but the wine in the yid's kli is still mutter because the flow is not connected to the yid's kli anymore. Ask the Gemara, that's not necessarily true, because l'tamecha, according to you, a masefa, let's say the end of that case of the Mishnah, what did it say? Es she'iru l'soichai hu da'asur, that the kli that was poured into, that's usur, meaning whatever wine is currently found in the non-Jew's kli, so that's usur. That's mashma hadabeni beni shari, that whatever is still flowing into it is mutter. And therefore, elamei halak l'mishnah, we know we can't learn anything from this part of the Mishnah either. So Tashma, we have another attempted raya. Brisa says as follows: Hama armei chavos labar. We have kosher wine being poured from the barrel to the bar. Kiluach hayard misvas chavos lamata usur. The flow of wine that's coming just off of the edge of the barrel as it's flowing down, that's usur, and that's mashma that nitzuk chibur because the bottom of that flow is touching the yai nesach in the bottom of the bar, and that whole stream is usur. So we see nitzuk chibur. The Gemara says not right. The Gemara of Sheshes. Sheshes explains as follows: But avikachavim hama aret. A non-Jew is the one that's pouring the wine. The asim yikaychai, it's coming from his kayach, and that's where the wine is also. Nothing to do with nitzik. As the Gemara, if the non-Jew is the one pouring the wine, afilu gava dechavis nami mitzer, then even the wine that's inside the barrel that's being poured into the bar, the wine that's still inside should be usur, because the non-Jew pouring the wine. So the answer is no. Kayach to avikachavim midrabanan hu da usur. This whole concept that when the non-Jew pours the wine, it's his kayach, even though he didn't touch it, but he poured it, that's just an isur drabanan. And therefore, hu denafik libroi gazer berabanan. Whatever has already left the barrel of kosher wine, that's what the gzeres rabbanon is on, that it's usur hahud legavoy lo gazer rabbanon. But whatever's still inside the barrel of kosher wine, that doesn't have the gzera on it, and therefore it's still mutter, and nothing to do with nitzek chibur. So we don't have a right for Rav Huna. Now we continue. Amar lo Rav Chizal hanusavisa. Rav Chizal told these wine sellers, kichai lisu chamel avichavim. When you measure out wine for non-Jews, katvi ketufei, pour it quickly and then stop it, so the flow is not connected to the non-Jews' kli. Inami, alternatively, nafzid and futsay, you should like toss the wine into his kli, so again, there's no connection, and this is obviously because he holds nitzek his chibur. Rava told these people who are pouring wine, when you're pouring wine for non-Jews, don't allow the non-Jew to come close to help you. Maybe you're going to forget, and you're going to lean the barrel on him to help you, and that means the wine is coming from his kayach, and it's usur. And something similar, there was a fellow who's transferring wine from one barrel to another by way of a gishta or bas gishta, which is what we call a siphon. If you're using Eisbahad Gemara, you'll see a handy picture on the left-hand side over here in that Gazvit Siyunim. Rashi explains it as two hollow reeds that are connected at a 45-degree angle. One of those is placed into the barrel that has the wine. The other is into the empty barrel. And then the wine is sucked through this straw, through this pipe. And once the wine begins flowing downwards, it just continues emptying out on its own. That flow just continues. This is a classic siphon. And so a person's siphoning wine from his barrel into another one. And also, a non-Jew came along and he put his hand right by that flow of wine that was coming out into the new barrel. Asur Rava Lekulei Chamra, Rava asurd all the wine, even in the original barrel. And Amar Rav Rava, Rav Papa said to Rava, Va'amri law, some say it was Rav Adra Masna Rava, Va'amri law, some say it was Ravina Rava, B'mai, why is it asur? Benitzak, because there's a flow of wine in between the two barrels. Shamis Ma Nitzak Chibur, we learn from him the Nitzak Chibur. So he answers that no, Shani Hasma, case is different. The Kulei Chamra Gishtu Bas Gishtu Garer. All the wine is coming through the siphon, and as we said, it runs through on its own. It doesn't need any help once it starts flowing. And therefore, when one part of the wine is touched, it's considered like he's touching the whole barrel of wine, even though he's just touching the flow that's coming out of the siphon. So it has nothing to do with Nitzak Chibur. And here we have another case. Amar Zosha Breit Rav Nachman, Kanishkanin Shari. Drinking out of a Kanishkanin is mutter. What is this? So it's a very wide kli. It has a number of straws coming out of it. Wine is poured into the kli, and multiple people could stand around drinking wine from these straws, and they're obviously all pulling this wine from the same kli. So a Yid is allowed to drink at the same time that a non-Jew is, and there's no problem with the wine. However, Hanimil is only the Kadam Pasuk Yisrael. Yid stops drinking first. Aval Kadam Pasuk Avi Kachavim Lai. If the non-Jew stops drinking first, so then Yid's not allowed to drink anymore, because the moment the non-Jew stops drinking, the wine that he just had flows back into the kli and asers everything. So as long as he's drinking and he's pulling wine towards himself, that doesn't aser any of the wine here. So if the Yid stops drinking first, everything's okay. But if the non-Jew stops drinking first, then again, his wine that he's drinking flows back in and it asers everything, so the Yid wouldn't be allowed to drink from here. And we have a story about this. Rabbi Rav Huna Ikla Beir Shkalusa. Rabbi Rav Huna visited the Rish Kalusa. Shar Luhu Lemishta B'Kanishkanin. He allowed everyone to drink from Kanishkanin. And Ein Gimel Amud Aleph on top. Ikadam Risham say that Rabbi Rav Huna Gufei Ishti B'Kanishkanin. The Rabbi Rav Huna himself drank from his Kanishkanin with non-Jews. We're going to stop it for the day and pick up tomorrow, continue with another Mishnah. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.